Matthew 27. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon. And they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothing by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed a written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross, if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel? Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Lord, I hope I'm not stepping out of bounds here, but I need to talk to you about something. I don't like that verse, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I don't like the way it sounds. I don't like it. It doesn't sound like something you would say. It doesn't sound like something you could say. It doesn't sound like something that the Father would do. It just doesn't sound right. Lord, I love it when I hear you speak, and I find it easy to listen. For when you speak with such authority, such power in your voice. When you commanded creation into existence, wow. I can only imagine. When you commanded the land to separate from the water, and the water rushed out of its way to let the land stand at attention, creating the mountains and the valleys and the dry lands. I can dream of the day when you spoke life into existence in the form of vegetation. And like time-lapse photography, the plants grew, the flowers bloomed, the trees produced fruit, and the world became an array of light and color. I picture you with the stroke of your hand, flinging the stars in their place like the greatest of all baseball players, putting those spheres, some large, some small, some burning, some dormant, right where they belong. I can imagine you having fun creating the hippopotamus and the octopus, the snout of the anteater, the toolkit in the nose of a mosquito, in the clumpy appearance of a moose. I can dream of the day when you bent over the dry clay cake sculpture and whispered breath into Adam. That was the act of God. That is the way I like to hear you. That's the voice that I so love. And that is why I don't like this verse. Are those really your words? Is that really your voice? Is that the same voice that inflamed the bush, that split the sea, that commanded fire to lick up Elijah's sacrifice? This time your voice sounds so different. Just look at the sentence. It begins with a question. Why? God, you don't ask questions. You give commands. Your statement ends with exclamation marks. That's your punctuation. As you stood before Lazarus' tomb, you commanded, Lazarus, come forth. When you stood before men tormented by evil spirits, you commanded, be gone. When you stood on the bow of a fishing boat, your disciples fearing for their lives, and you commanded the sea to be still. Those are your words, words deserving an exclamation mark. They are the clashing cymbals of the grand finale. They demand attention. They demand action. They ignite lives. So why this question mark at the end of your words? Even the picture of a question mark, bent over, bowed down, stooped as if weary. Your punctuation should stand tall, straight, bold, defined. And as long as I'm at it, Lord, permit me to raise another matter. I don't like the word forsaken. The source of life, forsaken. The giver of love, alone. The creator of all, abandoned. Surely you didn't mean it. Could deity, could the Son of God feel forsaken? Maybe we could change this sentence. Not a lot, just a little bit. Let's change the verb. Lord, could I suggest that you change the word forsaken to afflicted? Wouldn't that be better? My God, why have you afflicted me? After all, you were martyred, standing strong in the midst of the unyielding evil. A noble and courageous soldier, unyielding, unbending, afflicted. That seems so much better than forsaken. This way, you will be recognized as a martyr, an acknowledged hero, and the world loves a hero, always looking for a hero. Jesus, you couldn't have been forsaken. You couldn't have been left alone, deserted in your most painful moment. Forsaken. That is the suffering borne by the most evil, the vile, the corrupt. Not for you, the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. John called you the Lamb of God. That's pretty impressive too. The spotless, unblemished Lamb of God. I can hear John saying it. I can see as he lifted his eyes, a smile crept across his face. His arm raised, his finger extended. And he says it loud enough for those who were around him to hear. Behold the Lamb of God. That's you.
So you like that verse?
Yeah, I sure do, God. That's one of my favorite verses. That's you.
What's the second part?
What?
What's the second part of the verse?
Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Is that it, God? Is that what you're talking about? Is that what you're getting at here at the cross?
Think about it.
Who takes away the sin of the world? Wait a minute. Who takes away? I never thought of it that way before. I always thought you, just kind of sent it away, banished it. Kind of like standing in front of a mountain and telling it to jump into the lake, like what you did to the demons. I guess I never thought of you, I just thought you just commanded evil out. Who takes away? I never noticed that you took it out. Like taking out the trash. Like taking out an old dying corpse. You touched it. Or more, it touched you. I know what it's like to be touched by sin. I know the stench of the stuff. I remember what it was like before I knew you. I wallowed in it. I didn't just touch it. I bathed in it. I drank it. I was consumed by it. You remember how it was when you found me, lonely, afraid, confused? That's how sin leaves you, shipwrecked, orphaned, abandoned, forsaken. Oh my. That's what happened, isn't it? Sin did the same to you that it did to me. Your question was real, wasn't it? You were alone, forsaken, just like me. Only I deserved it. You didn't. God, I didn't know. I didn't understand. You took it out. I think I'm beginning to see. I've stepped way out of line. Please, Jesus, forgive me. And thank you.